Senate labor unions gear up for a showdown, determined to take control of the Senate board as they fiercely protest Senate's controversial decision to sell off their majority stake in four major hotels across the country.
The workers are saying they must stop. And stop means stop. No chaskele. We're going to make sure that workers control the governance structure of SNITE. That's where our next fight we're going to fight for.
How exactly do you intend to do this?
By changing the board. Whatever has to be done to change the board to ensure that workers are in control, we make sure it is back.
We'll hear from the pensions analyst who believes that move may not be in the interest of pensioners.
It's not in line with best practices around the world. I would even suggest that the number should increase. I wouldn't suggest anything like that.
Tonight, labor unions gear up for a showdown, determined to take full control of the Senate board as they fiercely protest Senate's controversial decision to sell off their majority stake in four major hotels across the country. The proposal, which includes selling to Rock City Hotel, a business affiliated to our great minister, Brian Achampon, has faced strong opposition from labor unions. The unions in the last 24 hours have met both the Senate board and the Minister of Employment and Labor Relations, Ignatius Bafuewua, to push through their demands to get the deal cancelled. The minister says he is on a fact-finding mission at the behest of the president, after which he will brief cabinet for the next actions to be taken. In the interim, he is calling for calm. He addressed a news conference after meeting the labor unions.
Well, I wouldn't want to go into the nitty-gritty of what was discussed here. The most important thing is that I want to use your medium to inform the nation that we are not sleeping on the issue. We want to delve into the issues, but we want to be as objective as possible. That's why we want to listen to everybody that matters in this case before we can also make our position. I don't need to state my position on only what Labour has said. I will want to listen to all other stakeholders, including Labour. Don't worry, we are not far from there. If you care to know, I can mention to you, I have already met with management of SNIT. I have met with the board of MPRA, and I'm still consulting. Labour is the third stakeholder I have met. So why are you rising? Just allow me to have a full disclosure of the issues pertaining to the topical issues around now. And then, if need be, at an appropriate time, I will address you on it.
John uses learning SNET has temporarily halted plans to sell a majority stake in four major hotels following escalating tensions with labor unions. Dr. Bampuado is the executive secretary of CLOCSAG.
The workers are saying they must stop. And stop means stop. No chaskele. Stop means stop. And that's it.
Do we know if the deal is ongoing or it has been halted for now?
For now, I think it's been halted.
And is something you can confirm that it has been halted?
Well, that's what they are telling us. Well, I don't think so. We are serious about this issue. And next step we're going to take is that we're going to make sure that workers control the governance structure of SNIT. That's where our next fight we're going to fight for.
However, Dr. Bampuado says the labor unions are now going after the board as they hope to take full control of it.
Well, we've made our position clear. It should be cancelled, and that's our position.
Are you satisfied with the response from the minister that he just wants to investigate for now?
Well, that's the minister. The state funds are workers' money. It's not government money. That's what you should know. It is not government money. It's workers' money. And we, the workers, are saying they must stop. And stop means stop. No chaskele. Stop means stop. And that's it.
Do we know if the deal is ongoing or it has been halted for now?
For now, I think it's been halted.
And it's something you can confirm that it has been halted?
Well, that's what they are telling us. Well, I don't think so. We are serious about this issue. And next step we're going to take is that we're going to make sure that workers control the governance structure of SNIT. That's where our next fight we're going to fight for. This is not government money, it's workers' money. So workers must control the governance structure of Smith, and that's what we're going to do.
How exactly do you intend to do this?
By changing the board, whatever has to be done to change the board to ensure that workers are in control, we make sure it is done.
There are concerns that gives you too much power as labor unions. That
this not this our money. That's the first thing you must know. It's our money. It's not government money. It's our money. So we should control it. It's not government money. It's our money. We should control it. If you have your own personal money, you want someone to control it for you. Is that what you are telling me? Your own money, you want someone to control it for you. So that must end. We must control our money.
That seems like a long-term approach
it's
to this
part. Okay. It's short-term. We are going to make sure. We're going to put measures in place. That's why we have requested. We're going to have a meeting with the president. And these are the issues that will be put forward.
Do you know when you are meeting the president?
Well, we sent out listen to him that we want to meet him. So it's up to them to give us a date. So waiting for the date.
Once the minister is on a fact-finding mission, what is your next move beyond the decision to try and change the composition of the board?
We have interactions for amendments on the board, so we have the fact. So we are convinced that there are a lot of variations in the tendering process. That's why it should be cancelled. We've done our fact-finding mission. We've spoken to our members on the board, and we are satisfied that this deal must be cancelled. And we've told them, cancel it. And that's it. We don't need any other investigations to be convinced. We are convinced.
Talking about changing the constitution of the board, what do you seek really to do? To just remove government appointees or to increase your representation on the board?
What we seek to do is that we must be in control, and that's it, whichever we.
And top story is always brought to you by Telcel Connecting Energies. Now, let's dwell more on this particular story. If you look at the National Pensions Act of 2008, that's Act 766, it talks about the governing body of the trust. That's the Social Security and National Insurance Trust. It says, the clause 35.1 says, the governing body of the trust is a board of trustees consisting of a chairperson, B, two persons nominated by the president, at least one of whom is a woman. C, two representatives of employers' association. D, four representatives of organized labor. E, one representative of National Pensioners Association. We have one representative of the ministry responsible for finance, not below the rank of a director. One representative of the security services who is not a member of the Ghana Armed Forces, and the Director General of the Trust. My colleague Isaac Kofi Ejeh joins me in studio with who and who exactly are on the board. Kofi, what do we know?
Well, let's start from the board chair of the trustees. We have Elizabeth Ekwia Ohene. She is the board chair of the SNIT trustees or the board. There's also Kofi Osafo Mafo, the Director General of SNIT. Emmanuel Edusa Akodie, his Employers Association rep. Gifty Annan, Company Secretary. There's also Gloria Arini Payada, who is the President's nominee. There's also Peter Osei Dua, who's also a presidential nominee. There is Benjamin Odote Esuman, Pensioners Association. And you have Abena Osei Asari, who is from the Ministry of Finance. And so they are, if you do the math, they are four from organized labor. So four organized labor reps. But in terms of pure labor, we have about five of them. So that gives them, you know, a percentage of 41% of the 12 member board. So out of the 12, you can have, you know, five from labor. So we have, you know, John Amegashi, who is also from Labour. There's Joshua Ansa, Labour. Evans Jikum, also from Labour. Ivy Maso, also from Labour. And then Benjamin Esuman, all from Labour. So five out of the 12 members. That's about 41%, Brace.
Interesting there. But as Labour makes a push for more representation, a ranking member on the Employment, Social Welfare and State Enterprises Committee, Dr. Kwabena Donko, says he is disappointed in the representatives of Labour on the SNIT board. He spoke to Raymond Akwa on Upfront on Joy News.
I am disappointed at the representatives of Labour on the board because you have a right to minority opinion.
Yes.
If you disagree with a board decision, you must say so particularly when you have a constituency of workers, must publicly state so that, look, we disagreed with this, and these were our reasons. And either by executive fiat or by whatever is being pushed down our throats.
To be fair to them, they insisted that they've been asking for a meeting with the president for the last 2 years without success to discuss this and other issues.
Who? The Labour?
Yes.
All representatives?
Labour?
Yes. I'm talking about the representatives
okay,
the
four
board.
Currently on
yes,
the board.
Yes, on
okay.
the board. And that is why I think the whole board should be dissolved. Because if you are representing organized labor on the board, and you are four, government has six directly,
mm-hmm.
and minority rights are being trampled upon, you have a responsibility to come back to your constituency, yeah. workers of Ghana,
yeah.
and say, look, this is going on, we disagree, but some authority somewhere is pushing this down our throat. You don't wait until civil society and individuals raise questions and then you suddenly jump on a bandwagon. So you take allowances mm-hmm. as board members.
As board members.
There are other privileges that go with the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if you have not upheld the trust of organized labor, the interest of organized labor, as individuals, you should resign.
Now, the current stalemate, how do you resolve it? This difficulty that the labor unions have with the SNET board. Today we are told that the board chair stormed out of the place, very angry. And that's when labor then did a press conference that there's no negotiable position now. All that's expected is that they cancel the deal and that nobody takes them for granted. That is the position they have taken now. Are they right? Is the board ultimate, as we have been discussing?
Well, that is, remember I raised the issue of the structural challenges of SNET as
yeah.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we, first of all, we also have to look at the law, the SNET Act,
yeah.
whether 766 or the previous ones or the various, and the regulator, the National Pensions and Regulatory Authority. What is their position on all this?
So that is ranking on the Employment, Social Welfare and State Enterprises Committee of Parliament, Dr. Kwame Adonko there. Now, joining us on this is the Executive Director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research, Abdallah Mashood. I'm grateful to you for joining us. First off, is this even possible?
Good evening, and thank you for having me. Before I go into the substantive matter, let me say that I don't want to remind organized labor that they have a duty to halt the sale of four major assets of the National Pension System, the owner of Rock City. Organized labor must be reminded that those four hotels are working very well and are giving the right returns to the scheme and need no section at all. They must also be reminded that the sale of the hotel is not in the best interest of the Ghanaian worker and introduce high risk to the existing portfolio mix. And this time we are talking about both political risk and investment risk. And of course, it is the political risk that is going to cause the investment risk. We don't have to lose focus in this case because I was expecting that organized labor would tell us that yes, we had an engagement with the Minister for Employment and Labor Relations yesterday. And this was why he said this is our position on the subject. Now,
after the meeting, they've come out. So, Mashood, after the meeting, they've come out to say that they have asked the minister to put a halt to it, and the minister has agreed that he's doing consultations, and then later he will brief cabinet. So, they've come out to tell us what exactly their positions were at this meeting.
Currently, there's only one outcome we are expecting, especially if you are going to look at the best interest of the Ghanaian worker. There's only one outcome we are expecting, which is that they are going to halt the sale of the phone. And as I was saying, coming to the earlier question you asked, you see, we have to again remind organized labor that the rules governing the administration and governance of social security system is grounded in law. What organized labor is requesting is practically impossible. It's not in line with best practices and law, and practically represents a recipe for disaster for the pension system. What I think they should rather be doing is to seek to make their representation on the board useful. I remember you are making analysis on the composition of the board.
we don't have to discuss Senate and MPRA separately. I'm going to put together the two boards. If you put together the Senate board and the MPRA board, we have a total of 24 board members. These persons are coming from, you know, government, you know, nominations and government-related institutions. Whereas we have 11 coming from non-government institutions. We are talking about organized labor, employers association, and pensioners association. 11 out of 24. Given this background, I would say organized labor and non-government entities are fairly represented on the board. What is missing is the expertise with which those nominated members serve on the board. We have to ask the tough questions. Do they have the members who are nominated on those boards? Do they have the relevant expertise to raise hands in the boardroom? Are they truly safeguarding the interests of the members that they serve? How much interest do they have in improving the efficiency of the pension system? The answer to my question is no, practically. You see, social security is a serious business, and representation on the board must focus on quality of the nominated members rather than the numbers. So practically, it is important. This is not the time for us to be looking in the direction of upping the numbers. After all, we already have the numbers on the board.
Maybe what they want is for the president's nominees to be reduced to favor in more organized labor. Isn't that something that can be looked at?
No. For instance, if you take the Smith board, we have president is nominating, what do you call it, two members. And if you look at the MPRA board, it's practically the same thing. Let's come to MPRA. One person nominated by the president, one rep from the Minister of Employment and Labor Relations, one rep from Bank of Ghana, one rep from Attorney General, and one rep from Security and Exchange Commission. All these people are very, very, very important, especially on the MPRA board. If you come to Smith, the same thing is happening. The kind of you know, government entities that are representing on the board are very, very, very important. And for me, I think we should rather, from the perspective of organized labor, they should rather be looking at, you know, improving the quality of the people that they send to the board. If you have 11 out of 24, as far as the two entities are concerned, that is enough for you to be able to impact on policy, for you to be able to improve the efficiency of the pension system. You see, we have to ask ourselves, these entities that we are talking about, organized labor, pensioners association, do they have research department that is looking at the main social security policy objectives? Here we are talking about long-term sustainability. Do they research into those things? Are they interested? We are talking about adequate benefits for members. Are they interested in that? We are talking about expanding coverage to the poor. These are the main social security policy objectives. Once you get all of this right, then you are improving the efficiency of the pension. My recommendation is that this is not the time. Of course, it's practically impossible. It's grounded in law. It's grounded in the Constitution. There is very little they can do about it. What I think they have to do is to work with the tools that they have. And what they have right now is 11 members representing on both boards. And we need to really focus attention on improving the efficiency of the pension system. The quality of the people that they take in there matters to us.
But I mean, from your argument, we know what pertains, right? After the discussion ensues at the boardroom, it comes down to vote, and that's where numbers matter. So however good or quality the representatives of labor will be, it will definitely come down to the vote, which of course will be dominated by who has the numbers. So aren't they right to say, despite the fact that we have the quality representatives, we are always on the losing side because we don't have the numerical advantage? And so let's get that.
Yeah, so what you are saying, it happens. Not always, it is not in all the decisions that you have board members voting to see whose you know, decision will stand. But what we also need to understand is that government is the financial guarantor of the ultimate underwriter of the pension. I said that if the scheme is heading for a collapse, it is government who is the main guarantor of the social security system. Government has the responsibility to ensure the long-term sustainability of the pension system. That is why when we are discussing actuarial valuation reports, nobody talks about any other entity, but we are talking about government. So he has the responsibility to ensure that the scheme is sustainable for future generations. Again, don't forget, government is the biggest employer. If you take the contributor population, you know, we have an estimated 36% coming from the public sector, and they are all on government payroll, against 64% coming from the, what do they call, private sector. All these are issues that you need to consider. So for me, it's a balanced, what do they call it, kind of competition, especially if you are going to look at the role government plays in really ensuring that the thing is sustainable and efficient.
So, if you look at sustainability, the organized labor has always made the argument that decisions are taken as though the labor, which of course we own the trust, our opinion does not matter. So how do we get people to appreciate that really the opinions of labor is also taken into consideration in arriving at decisions when, for example, they say we don't have the numbers? So can you look at it? It's not something that, as a country, we can look at in terms of how to drive SNIT in the right direction?
No, so we have identified the problems, and all the problems have been clearly stated in the actual valuation report. Of course, in 2011, we're told that the thing set for depletion is by 2031. In 2014, we're told by 2042. In 2017, we were told that it's set for depletion by 2037. Then the current valuation report, yeah. So it means the whole thing is drawing closer to the present time, and there's a need for us to do something. And I keep saying that each time valuation report each time the thing is evaluated, they make recommendations. And those recommendations are supposed to be driven by the board. That is why when the valuation report is done, it's submitted to the Board of Trustees, which includes members of the of labor. And so, you know, Joy broke the news about Asura valuation report. We didn't know anything. Meanwhile, there are members of organized labor who are part of the board. Did they report to their members? So, as I said, it is important. They just have to change the way they do things by really, you know, demonstrating commitment to represent the people, by really, you know, showing commitment to contribute to the policy dialogue. Once they make up their mind that they are going to contribute to the policy dialogue, the numbers do not count. And look, we ask ourselves, how many times do they have to vote? How many times do they have to vote in order to arrive at the system? Very many times. So it is important they focus on improving the efficiency of the social security system. There are a lot of lapses. You talk about administrative costs. You can't spend 25 Ghana cedis to collect 100 Ghana cedis in administering the scheme. That is highly unacceptable. You talk about government indebtedness. It is affecting the long-term sustainability of the scheme. And that has been highlighted in the actual valuation report.
And the board, the board is not able to get government to do what is expected of it in terms of payment of contributions on time, because it is dominated by people who have closeness to the president. And that's why, isn't it why organized labor thinks that must change? We should probably have more of the members coming from us than those who owe allegiance to the president, so that the right things that are done in the interest of labor particularly will be moved by or will be something that the board will be championing.
Yeah, maybe you want me to separate SNIT from MPRA. I think I was driving the discussion by lumping the two together.
Of course, yes.
Let me break it down. Mm-hmm. SNIT has 13 board members.
Mm-hmm.
7 are non-government entities. 4 coming from organized labor, 2 coming from employers association, and 1 coming from the personal association. So in the SNIT boardroom, against 6 members from, you know, government and government-related institutions. Some against 6. So in the SNIT boardroom, if you are talking about numbers, then clearly this wouldn't stand. Out of 13, 7 are coming from labor, and 6 are coming from government and government-related institutions. It wouldn't stand in there. Of course, we are discussing SNIT right now, 7 against 6. If we have to go by, you know, that argument, then that one wouldn't stand. If you come to NPR, for me, I think MPRA is the biggest problem in the pack. If MPRA is doing things right, or if they are really, you know, steering the wheel as expected, they are really, you know, regulating the system as expected. We wouldn't have all the issues that we have. And what we are discussing about SMIC is just a tip of the iceberg. I'm sure very soon we'll be opening up conversation on what is happening in the tier 2 and tier 3 arrangements. The Ghanaian worker is suffering seriously under the current pension act. Of course, we have to take pension reform because we're not happy with the old system.
Okay, so stay with me, Mashood. Stay with me, Mashood. Let me bring in Richmond Roxon, who is a private legal practitioner. Richmond, I'm grateful to you for joining us. Now, organized labor say we want more representation on the board of SNET. I mean, what should happen?
Good evening, Grace, and good evening to your listeners. And I believe that if you consider the history of SNET and the challenges that SNET has had over the period and government's influence, the right, the call by organized labor is the right call. Because you don't want a situation where government continues to meddle in the affairs of SNET, controls the appointment of the board largely, controls the appointment of the director general, and then also largely the management of SNET. So basically, yes, I believe that it's the right call. I would have to look at the appointment because they have representation of even the government, by the end of the day, represent more or probably appoint more people on the board. It is the right call for us to look at the act to be able to amend to make sure that organized labor has more so that the control of pension funds will be in the hands of those who contribute and not the government of that.
Well, if you look at the law, it says the trustee or the trust will be made up of the chairperson, as a chairperson, two persons by the president, two reps from employers association, four reps of organized labor, one rep of the National Pensioners Association, one rep of the Ministry of Finance, one rep of the Security Services, and the Director General of the Trust. So if you look at it, those who are not, have any connection with the president or are not nominated by the president, that's the Employers Association, organized labor that has four, National Pensioners, one member. So when should you agree that the law must be amended? When should that happen? Now or wait till when?
That can be done immediately because if you look at the representation that you mentioned, the government, the president nominates two people. You also have someone from the Ministry of Finance, which definitely is going to be government representative. You also have somebody being represented by that's the Director General, who is also appointed the president. I don't believe that the president's representation of four people should be that. The law must be amended immediately. At best, you can have somebody from finance, you can have a director general represent on the board, which is also an appointment by the government. But I don't believe that the president should have two appointments and then also have one from Ministry of Finance and then the director general. So immediately parliament, executive can take a look at it and then parliament will do the needful to amend the law.
Let me bring in Mashood here. Mashood, so, I mean, we are talking about employers association. And I mean retirees as well as organized labor. If you look at the Employers Association, Organized Labor and National Pensioners Association, their interests will not be the same. Can we then ramp them up to say, I mean, they represent non-government entities on the board and therefore it's right, it has to be maintained?
Yes, they, you know, that is why I broke it down into government and government-related institutions. Than non-government institutions. If you look at what do they call it, employers association, they are representing all employers across the country. Of course, they bring in the contributions. If you look at pensioners association, they represent the pensioners, the interests of pensioners in this country. So they protect the interests and the rights of pensioners. The same thing goes for organized labor. They are protecting the interests of the working population. So it is fine for us to, you know, we can easily categorize them in that sense. Because they are not being nominated by government. We have looked at, the situation and we feel that, look, we need a representative from here. That is how come they have picked pensioners association, employers association, and that of organized labor. So for me, I think what we have to do, really,
there is room for us to, you know, improve the competition of the board in terms of the numbers, you know, especially from government and all that. But what we need to do is to really look at the quality of the people that we take to the board. If you send the right people in there, you are going to achieve the result, the right result as far as the social security policy objectives are concerned.
All right, Mashood, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. So Mashood Abdullah is Executive Director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research. And we also had on the line Richmond Roxon, who is a private legal practitioner. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telcel Connecting Energies. My name is Samuel Kojo-Brace. Good evening to you. Keep listening to Joy. We have a special conversation coming up here on this dial. You wouldn't want to miss it for anything. So stay on. We have that live on television and on radio.